The risen Jesus Christ threw a barbecue for his followers. That is the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. As we finish up the last chapter here, folks, in the Gospel of John, and hope you've been enjoying this study. So let's start off with verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So here we are. We have the disciples. You know, these are the closest followers of Jesus, and they're going out fishing. So, you know, keep in mind that this is after all of these events. We're talking persecution from the religious crowd. We're talking the death of Christ upon the cross. We're talking about the resurrection. So, here we go. It's like anticlimactic. Here they're going on a fishing trip, you know, out to the sea. But, you know, you got to keep in mind that these guys just went through some unbelievable stuff. So this is something that they knew how to do. They were fishermen. And to them, you know, they're probably going to be fellowshipping out there, talking one with another, obviously about the events of, you know, the previous days. So here's something to keep in mind, folks. You know, they were fishermen, but if you remember, you know, the Lord called them as fishermen at one point, and they left everything to follow him. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, or immediately, they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway, or immediately, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. So, obviously, when the Lord called his people here, it was a dramatic thing. You don't just leave a business and go to follow somebody. I mean, this was a supernatural thing. They knew that the Lord was special. They knew that there was something going on there, that they would leave behind their business now to follow him. So that was some amazing stuff that took place. So here we have now the disciples. They're out doing the same thing again. They're fishing. They're going out there, but they're not catching anything. So you know, that happened also before in an instance. You know, when the Lord told his followers to let out the boat into the deep. You know, there's a time, if you look in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 to 11, you could read that for yourself. The Lord, after speaking and teaching out of his boat, out of Peter's boat, he said, you know, launch out into the deep, you know, and, you know, for a large haul of fish. And basically Peter said, you know, Lord, we toiled all night, you know, with no success. But he obeyed the word of the Lord. They ended up catching so many fish that the net broke. And from that point on, the Lord told him, you're going to be catching men. So obviously he's talking about evangelism all the way back there. So let's get back now to John chapter 21, verses 4 to 6. It says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? You could picture him standing on the shore yelling to them, children, have you any meat or food? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So you see the similarity between what took place when the Lord first called these men and now. So it's supernatural. In and of themselves, they were doing nothing. But when the Lord got involved, look at the miracle that took place. So the Lord is ministering to them. He's calling them back to where he originally called them to. That's exactly what is happening there. Let's get back to John 21, verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. By the way, a cubit, that's about 18 inches. They say it's from the elbow to the tip of your hand. If you measure it, it's like a foot and a half. So if you had something like 200 cubits, that would be 300 feet. So that's about what that would be. So what do we see here? It says, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Now, this is mind-boggling, folks. Let's continue. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So what do we have here, folks? We have the Lord Jesus Christ throwing a barbecue for his followers. That's exactly what is taking place here. Up on the beach shore there, the Lord is throwing a barbecue. Keep in mind that they're coming out of the water, and now they can see a fire. They see coals burning. And then they get close and they see this fish on there and bread. Can you imagine this? This is awesome. How cool is that? So we began this book of John, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. In John chapter 1, right at the beginning, we learn about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. We learn about the deity of Jesus Christ. And now here we are at the end of the book of John. And the same one who went to the cross, who was butchered on the cross, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead. Here he is, the same Jesus Christ, serving food, barbecue style, to his followers. Can you imagine that? Would you not want to be part of something like that? Unbelievable! This is the creator of all things. This is the one who went to the cross. This is the one who rose again. He's holding a barbecue for his followers, folks. This is wonderful. This is awesome. Okay, it says here in verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So, you know, John made a note of this, that it was the third time. He wants people to know. You know, John's preaching here, folks. He wants people to know that this is not some fantasy that took place, this whole gospel of Jesus Christ. He wanted people to know this is the third time that he appeared to his disciples, folks. This is the gospel. It's real. And John wanted to make sure that this was recorded. And here we are all of these years later, pushing 2,000 years or 1,900 years and change, whatever it is. Here we are reading the Gospel of John. It's still on paper. We can read it, thank God for that. Some countries, it's difficult to even secure a Bible, ladies and gentlemen. So here we are reading about this barbecue that the Creator of all things had for his followers. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ questioning Peter. He begins by saying, you know, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So what did he mean by that? You know, some people say, well, he's talking about, do you love me more than the fish or the fishing business? And others, and I would be included in this crowd, believe that the true meaning is, do you love me more than these? Meaning the rest of the disciples. Because if you remember when the Lord told his people, he says, look, all of you are going to be offended because of me this night. That was the night in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came with the clubs and the torches and a band of men, hundreds of men, and the Lord prophesied to them, you know, you're all going to be offended. Basically, you're all going to take off. But he also told Peter he would deny him. So let me read it to you from Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily or truly I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So we know, as we went through the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, that Peter, in fact, did deny the Lord three times. The Lord prophesied it would happen. We knew right then and there that it had to happen, because anything the Lord Jesus Christ prophesies, it's guaranteed to happen. It's 100% guaranteed to happen. So Peter denied the Lord three times, and now we had the Lord asking Peter three times, three different times, whether he loved him. And I believe that was the Lord giving him the privilege of being able to say that. You know, it was a measure, a great measure of love for the Lord to do that. He you know, because the Lord knew Peter loved him. And I like what Peter said, you know, right there. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. See, he knew who the Lord was. He knew the deity of Christ. He says, Lord, you know everything. And the fact that he said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. And that's what he was saying right there. So that's kind of beautiful when you look at it. So let's go verse 18. It says, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So here we go. The Lord is switching gears. So here he's talking to Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Three different times. Peter, do you love me? So after that, now the Lord is prophesying the death of Peter, how he's going to die. He's going to bring glory to God. So, you know, folks, you know, we think of The miracles that Christ has done. He's the creator of all things. Think about this. You know, he could have rose from the dead and said, look, that's it. Everybody, let's go. You're going to hell. This one's going to heaven. Let's go. Let's end the whole thing right there. But you see, don't ever forget the words of Jesus Christ. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So when you think that Christ came into this world, he came unto his own and his own received him not. The religious people rejected him. They didn't want anything to do with him. They did not believe he was who he said he was. So this world, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, you've been born again of the Spirit. If you've been truly saved, you've been born again of the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about. You know that this world is not your home. You're an alien here. You're like a foreigner. You know you're looking for a better place. Oh, yes, you are. You're looking for another country. You're looking for that city in the sky. Glory to God. So this is not our home, ladies and gentlemen. So the world will always hate. The unbelievers will always persecute the Christian, the believer. The flesh has always persecuted the spirit. Oh, yes. So here's the Lord prophesying Peter's death. And they say it was a custom at Rome. You know what they would do? They would put the necks of them who were to be crucified into a yoke and stretch out their hands and then fasten their hands to the end of it and then lead them through the city to be crucified. You know, different things are said, you know, sometimes they would tie their hands and whatever. But the bottom line is that the Lord knew what was going to take place. And they say it was about 34 years, I think, later after Christ spoke those words to Peter that he, in fact, did die. You know, it's not written in the scriptures, so you can't say it happened exactly this way. Tradition tells us that Peter wanted to be crucified upside down because he did not believe he was worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. So, like I said, this is speculation, tradition. There's a good chance it is true, okay? But like I said, it's not recorded in the scriptures, but I tell you that. One thing you do know, folks, that is true is that he died in a way that brought glory to God. Oh, yes. So, in a way, you know, here he's telling Peter he's going to be martyred. But, you know, in another way, he's saying, look, you're going to bring glory to my name. That's powerful. Look, they're going to kill you, but you're going to bring glory to my name. So what a promise from the Lord, and what a promise of how he would glorify the name of God. Let's go now to verse 20. It says, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So Peter was obviously talking about John, who's the writer of the Gospel of John. He's basically saying, what about him? What about this guy? You know, I'm going to be killed, but what about him? What's going to happen to him? Okay, so basically the Lord said, look, if I will, you know, that he remain or tarry until I come, well, what's that to you? You just follow me. Just follow me. Oh, yes. So that's what the Lord was saying there. Verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple, meaning John, should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? I like that, how John snuck that in there. Because obviously he started hearing rumors and talk, and people said, you're not going to die. We heard you're not going to die. So he wanted to straighten this whole thing out. I like the way he did that. So he says, that's not what he said. That's not what he said at all. The Lord was simply saying, look, if I were to keep this man alive until I come back, what difference does it make? What is that to thee? You just follow me. So it goes to show you how things can get started, you know, and get go off and they're not true. So people start believing something that's not true. It's very simple. You know, in fact, you could compare that to false teachings of today. People start preaching certain things. They're not true. And it becomes doctrine and people go off and so on and so forth. So let's end it here in verse 24 and 25, it says, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things. That's John. and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I love that verse. Verse 25, the very last verse in the Gospel of John. Let me repeat it to you again. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. You know, keep in mind, folks, that John was one of the original disciples, folks. He was an eyewitness. And for a man to make a statement like that, who was there, it shows you that he saw things that were not recorded in any of the gospel accounts. That's what he's saying. He says he did so many things. If you would know what he did. We read about so many amazing miracles that took place in all of the gospels. But he's saying, look, if we were to tell you all of these things, the world couldn't contain all the books. So this is speaking of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as I said, ladies and gentlemen, the Gospel of John, we began it where we learn about Jesus Christ being the Word. He was the Word that was made flesh. He created all things. All things were made by him and for him. And now here we are at the end. At the end, and he's talking to Peter, and he wants Peter to feed the sheep. He's talking, hey, Peter, go. And obviously not only Peter, otherwise you'll think I'm a Catholic here. And we're talking about everybody, folks. He wants them to go forth to preach the gospel, to go into forth all the world. Go forth into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe, they're saved. Those who don't, they'll be damned. So this is what it's all about. They went out fishing, and the Lord was setting them back on track again. That's what took place there. And he throws a barbecue for them. So it shows you the character of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we can look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, this was like a little glimpse of that, a taste of that. Here's the Lord throwing a barbecue for his people. Says, here, guys, come have a... Did you get any fish, John? Hey, Peter, did you get your bread over here? Come over here, my friend. Come eat. Well, let's eat together. Let's dine together. Let's dine together. And obviously they were fellowshipping and communicating one with another, folks. This is the awesomeness. This is the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the grace and mercy and love of God. And if you don't know him today, folks, this is the Jesus you need to know. This is the one who paid the price for your sins. This is victory. That was a victory barbecue, folks. Can you imagine this? The man was dead. The man was dead. He was killed upon the cross, and now he's throwing a barbecue. I hope you see this. This was a barbecue of absolute victory. Praise God. And I'm going to end it there, folks. I hope you enjoyed this Bible study in the Gospel of John. As I said, I love the Gospel of John. It's something you can read over and over. You learn about the deity of Jesus Christ. When you grip that, folks, who he is and what he's done for you, it will enrich your faith. And the word for you today is keep going. And you be blessed today and have a great day.